Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang Podcast, episode 138. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Lakeville Elliott.
We're rocking down here in Lakeville.
Phil, hey, I'm in Lakeville too, Wilson.
Well, we've got the south of the river covered, don't we?
There we go. And our buddy Graham is in Warrens, Wisconsin at the Cranberry Festival. don't even get me started on that.
Where he claims there's no cell phone coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot imagine a Cranberry Festival without cell phone coverage.
I know. What's? Can you believe that?
Come on. There must be television network trucks lined up over there.
I would think. Well, I heard that NBC, the Today Show, was going to be
going for the Cranberry Festival.
Was going to be from the Cranberry Festival in Warrens, Wisconsin. No?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
I don't think so. Right. How is everybody doing? How was your week?
You know, it was good. I don't know about you guys, but business has accelerated so dramatically in the month of September. It's like, oh my gosh. So that's great.
Lunch is on you today.
Yeah, there we go. But I'm hearing that from other people too, that there's more and more opportunities coming in and people are talking about pipelines being full and it's great.
Very cool. Well, I wanted to start the cast off today by first apologizing that I was unable to make the Mesa event last night. And Mesa is the Minnesota Emerging Software Advisory, and they are talking about looking for startups to get into their program. And we were invited to join them last night, and I was going to go and. Well, then the Volvo with a 250,000 miles on it seemed to develop a problem. So it was up on the hoist for a long time. So I was unable to make that. But I see it was a well done event, and I'm sorry turnout. That we couldn't make it, and a good turnout.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the other big thing, or probably the biggest thing that's happened this week is Facebook F8, their developer conference. And you guys have been much more steeped in it than I've been able to. And what's the big deal? And Tim, from your perspective, for example, what do you look at when you look at it from a marketing standpoint?
Before we get into that, though, I gotta disagree with you that it was the biggest event of the week. Because yesterday, Tim and I were on a part of a presentation with Marty Weatherall at Fallon. On Google Plus. So
I was actually going to get to that, but I honestly believe
that was, you know, Zuckerberg was riding on our coattails.
But it was on at the same time.
It was on at the same time.
Oh, so we were watching the live blog of F8 while we're on that
while we're
presentation. Yeah.
Good thing you have bandwidth.
But they do this brain food thing about once a month over at Fallon. And yesterday's was about Google Plus. And kudos to Marty and the team there for keeping people up to date on what's going on. So he did a great presentation. But yes, the biggest thing was F8. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. The keynote there.
So you want to run through it, and then Tim, I really want to hear from you about what you saw from opportunities to either build apps in there or market.
Well, Tim, you talk about it, Tim. You saw the same video that I did, or the same stream that I did. So
right. So the biggest thing is that they're changing the profile to what they call timeline, mm-hmm. which if you're a developer like me, you can change it right now. And it's basically a whole new way to look at your profile. And I think it's for regular people and not for people like us that may post stuff that's more, industry and less personal. Yeah. But if you're using Facebook the way that I think that it's intended on, you know, putting notes for your personal life, pictures, all that kind of stuff, the whole timeline interface makes it a lot more of an immersive experience, I think. I like the way that timeline looks. I like the way that you're able to go back in time and look at various things that you've posted onto your wall and other people have posted. So it's an interesting and dramatically different view of the profile that will take some getting used to. And it rolls out next week on the 29th.
Okay.
Now the way I understand it, Tim, and again, we were multitasking yesterday, but the profile is separate from the wall page. Am I right?
No, it actually replaces your wall.
It will replace the wall.
Yeah, yeah. I quickly enabled it yesterday to see what it would look like.
And it does so it replaces mm-hmm. the wall. What happens yep. to this new ticker? Does that stay up in this screen as well?
You know what? That's a good question. I don't
because
know.
Because it was my takeaway that the timeline was another way to present your profile, not necessarily your feed in what you're watching. I didn't see your wall being incorporated into that.
Yeah, no, the wall is. And if you're not a Facebook developer, I take it.
No, I am not. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. So any Facebook developer could go to my profile.
I apologize for that.
And see what it looks like right now. Yeah, the new ticker is not here. And the wall has been completely replaced.
Where's the
it's
wall?
It's one of these things where it's integrated into the new layout, the timeline layout. It is one thing that I had to enable, though. It was like a check. It was a, you know, check, click here to approve or enable or activate. So I'm assuming that that's going to be the way that people, when they get up next week and they visit their Facebook page, they're going to have a little pop-up that says, you know, do you want to enable timeline? So maybe people can operate in this mode or the old mode, I don't know. But at some point in time, they're going to switch everything over because all the other stuff that they announced does, you know, it depends on this kind of layout and this kind of view. So like the music integration, the integration of Netflix and Hulu, and that kind of thing. And all of the Open Graph apps and social news apps, all of those are presented inside of Timeline.
Well, what else happened at it's pronounced Fate, the F8 thing, but what else came out? They did something with music and video, right?
Yeah, well, it's they integrated Spotify, RDO, and Moog, which are the big three right. music streaming services. And they also did Netflix and Hulu. At first, it looked like both of those would not be available in the US, but now they say that they will be. There was some sort of privacy issue. And all of those are integrated into the Facebook interface so that if I'm listening to a song, I can adjust my settings and actually it will show to everybody that I'm listening to a particular song. And they can listen to it too from my profile.
Okay.
So that whole social sharing of content is an interesting innovation. And they went beyond that with... And these are examples of what they're calling Open Graph apps. So underneath all of this, they're collecting all sorts of information about preferences and they're exposing that to app developers. So from a company standpoint, a business standpoint, there's going to be some interesting data mining going on on top of Facebook.
But here's what I wonder about, because this always happened in the enterprise space where you'd have these various point solutions, right? There'd be instant messaging and there'd be voice and there'd be all these different things. And then you'd have companies that were trying to do this unified messaging platform where they tried to put it all together so that it all worked. And platform-based solutions have never done well because there's always a gaping hole or more than one gaping hole that, you know, some collaboration aspect or some connection aspect is decent, but boy, the Google Plus Hangouts is 10x better, so everybody uses that. And I'm wondering if Facebook is going to run into the whole we're trying to do it all problem, and none of it is really excelling.
Well, I think they're in between a rock and a hard place right now because Google Plus, there's over 40 million people on Google Plus now. They just have opened it up to anybody that wants to come in, so... It's not out of the question that they could double that in a very short period of time since they have about 300 million people using Google services of some sort. Most of it, that is Gmail. But, you know, they've got to cater and compete with that. But they also are being used by companies as an advertising platform. And that's how they make most of their money. So I think that what they've announced is interesting and is valuable to regular people. you know, regular users and not users like us or other people in tech, that people will use these services, and they also have benefits for companies trying to sell stuff to those same people.
Yeah.
So it may be that Google Plus is this geek hangout thing that all of us like because hangouts are really cool, and you know, there's you can blog there because there's no limits and all sorts of other things. But regular people that are just, you know, posting to their friends and family, they may continue to use Facebook. And what Facebook has done is, I think they've come out and they're at least 6 months, maybe up to a year ahead of Google Plus right now, as far as integration of these services and their back end platform for business. So,
okay, so
very interesting to see what's going to happen. Well, you know,
we'll have to see.
Maybe both Google Plus and Facebook coexist. Who knows?
Well, we'll keep tracking it. There's another thing that really kind of the buzz around this really hit this week, and it's about Best Buy.
Yep.
And so what are you seeing happen with Best Buy?
Well, they've been taking a lot of hits, mostly at Forbes for some reason. I don't know why. But one of the posts a week or so ago was about how Amazon and other and mobile apps that allow you to price compare while you're in the store, all of those have pretty much ripped out Best Buy's bread and butter customers. And, you know, they kind of have a doom and gloom story for them. And what was interesting is a former CEO of Best Buy in the comments kind of commented back and said, you know, all they need to do is this, that, and the other thing as far as focus and as far as, you know, doing some other things online. And most of what he said is absolutely true. But I think that Best Buy really needs to go beyond that and completely reinvent the company. And that's not what I'm seeing happening as far as what people are saying publicly from Best Buy. One of the links that we'll put in the show notes is Barry Judge's video that he did, an interview in the last few days.
Where obviously he got up early in the morning, or they rolled him out of bed and put him in front of the camera.
What's with the hair? I don't know.
Barry,
I don't know.
You're a marketing guy. Right. Comb your hair, dude.
Yeah. But anyway, but he didn't seem to have a whole lot of answers there. He talked about evolution and he talked about mobile and how, you know, price comparing or walking into a Best Buy store is better because you can see every plan and every phone and all that. But, you know, I think that what's happened is that, you know, a lot of other retailers, Target, even Walmart and Costco, all of those have added the same sorts of services and allows us to, you know, shop, you know, compare, see the phones, compare plans and all that stuff. So I just don't see that, you know, that they kind of get it. And if I were at Best Buy, I would be thinking a lot differently than what they appear to be thinking.
Well, I think that there are many strategies that they need to take. And we've spoken a lot about this subject over the years on the podcast. We've talked about what they do with that big space in the middle of their store that now is going to be that is occupied by, you know, a product that is disappearing, you know, CDs, DVDs, that sort of thing, those sorts of media.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Well, we talked about that. You know that. We've discussed that in the past. So Tim, is it? And of course, Forbes offers all sorts of great ideas as to what Best Buy needs to do so they don't fail. But first and foremost, I don't know if failure is imminent. But I think that they are looking at those challenges. But you know, do they need to be a smaller, lighter version? Do they need what business model do you see that they have to adopt to continue to evolve and grow?
Well, I think they can do three things. One is if they're competing with Amazon, I think they have to look online a lot more like Amazon than they do. And they have all the pieces too, which is kind of interesting. So I think they need to expand their selection. So not just the curated stuff that they have available in their stores. They have a site called Cowboom, which is a deals site, which sells refurbished and used stuff.
What's it called?
It's called Cowboom.
Really?
I've heard of that. Huh.
That should be completely integrated, just like it is at Amazon. And also, they should have the ability to have, you know, people like, you know, small business people sell stuff too, a marketplace like Amazon has. And also they can leverage their short store infrastructure. So if I buy something online, I can have it shipped to the store, which they do now. So that would be one of the ways they can be different than Amazon. The other thing is they've got all of these streaming services. So all the, you know, DVDs are going away and CDs are going away, and they own Napster and they own CinemaNow. But they're all operated completely separately. And even the branding is so separate, you don't know they're from Best Buy. So I think that packaging all of that together, maybe even changing the brands, maybe not, maybe just packaging them into a single package would make a lot of sense. And do something like what Amazon's supposed to be doing with their tablet. So I could see an Insignia tablet, Android tablet, but with Best Buy layer on top that integrates Napster and CinemaNow. And maybe if they went out and bought someone like Kobo, you could even have ebooks, you know, available. That sort of thing is what Amazon is doing and is what Best Buy can do and is the sort of thing that they really should do to compete in this sort of new world. And the last thing is their in-store experience has to be completely different. I think we've talked about this in the past. I see it as somewhere between Barnes & Noble and the Apple Store as far as look and feel and the ability to kind of congregate there. Maybe they stick a Starbucks in. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the ability for people to meet there to experience the products in a casual setting, to, you know, ask questions and get answers and all that kind of stuff. And the thing that really bothers me about Best Buy is when I go in there to take a look at something, invariably the software, well, the Wi-Fi doesn't connect and the software doesn't have any content in it. So if I'm looking at a tablet, I want to play music, I want to play a video, I can't do any of those things.
Right.
And so I go online and that doesn't even work.
Well, and so you know,
I know they can fix it because in the Apple Store section of the same store, I can get online and I can do all that.
Well,
stuff.
See, and also the Apple Store, they re-image every machine and every device in the store every night. So does the Microsoft Store at the Mall of America. They do the same thing. They re-image everything. So the next morning you come in there and everybody that's been looking at their Facebook page and all those, you know, all that history's gone and so forth. So, yeah.
That's got to be a lot of work.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sure they've got an automated process for that.
Yep. Well, with
probably just have this an automated thing that just runs on a server.
Well, don't you I don't disagree with any of the points that you've made. You know, I agree stronger with some than the others. I think the biggest concern I have is this, and maybe this is something that we talk about a little later on in the cast. But this concept of trying to be everything to everybody, is that what businesses have to do to compete? You have to be everything to everybody. Now, I'm not saying that. Well, you know, Best Buy's already got that sort of a business model in, you know, as a big box store. So don't get me wrong, but I gotta wonder, you know, is becoming the next Amazon or another Amazon, is that the way to compete?
Well, I'll tell you one thing is that nothing can replace experience. You know, being able to pick up something, hold it, you know, poke around, put it through its paces, all of that. And to your point about no software on the tablets is a good one because you can't experience it. Or if you walk in and the battery's out in the camera, there's no flash in there, so you can't actually take a picture and look at the photo, you know, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, there's all of these things that could enhance the experience. And yeah, they're going to just have to figure it out. But what I wonder about is as the world continues to accelerate toward the virtual, how can they compete? How can they compete? Like we're going to have a guest on here who's handling marketing for Google in the state of Minnesota. Google's not selling anything through Best Buy. They're not selling Google apps for your domain through Best Buy. They're not selling Google Plus. They're not selling ads. I mean, there's no.
Yeah, but that's not a hardware piece of equipment.
Oh, I mean, right. Exactly.
That's a virtual software piece of equipment.
But to the point of the fact that you used to walk in and see racks and racks of CDs and racks of DVDs, those racks and racks are not gone, or I mean, they're gone now. They're not there anymore. And because of the virtual, because of where things are going with Netflix and Hulu and everything else. And, it's an enormous challenge for a Best Buy, and they're ubiquitous though. They've got stores everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, you drive to Bismarck, North Dakota. Hey, there's a Best Buy store. So,
yeah, I think one of the things that they've been doing for some time now, the last few years, is they've been doing all sorts of different things, and it doesn't seem like they're super focused. You know, it seems like they're just trying everything. And some of it's been very successful, like what they're doing in social media, but they're just trying everything with no coherent strategy. So yeah. I think if they focused a little bit and tried to reimagine what their business needs to look like going forward, I think they definitely have a chance to, you know, turn the corner here. But if they continue to do what they're doing and continue to lose profitability as fast as they're losing it, they're just going to be the next Circuit City.
Right. Scary stuff.
Yep.
Well, so Phil.
Yes.
Who do we have on?
Well, listen, I had a chance. This was a while back at a gathering of MHTA. Had our chance to meet Ben. And I believe it's Thies from Google. As you know, Google has developed a local presence here in the Twin Cities, and Ben is the field marketing lead for Minneapolis. So we thought we'd bring Ben on and chat a little bit about Google and what they're doing on a local level. And I'm sure we can get a couple of his comments on what else has been going on with F8 and all that other stuff. So
Fate. Yep. Well, let's bring him on.
F8. I heard Zuckerberg call it F8 yesterday.
Are you serious? Okay, the Wikipedia article's wrong then.
I don't think they're wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong. You know, that's been known to happen.
Ben?
Ben! Yes?
It's Phil Hello? Wilson. Hi, Ben. It's Phil. It's Steve. It's Tim Elliott from Minovate. How are you, sir?
Doing great this morning. How about you guys?
Just great. You sound like you're miles away. Are you in the field as we speak?
Not quite, but a little bit. Well, I'm still in Minnesota. I just got back from Austin, Texas last night.
Oh, what brought you, what took you to Austin? Just fun and frivolity?
Nope. So I'm just a little bit of team training. So.
I see. Well, listen, Let's talk a little bit about what's going on with Google here on a local level. Ben, you've been with them for how long now?
A few months through the summer.
A few months. So, well, tell us a little bit about what Google is attempting to do by establishing a presence here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so Google's initiative goal is to create local partnerships with small businesses and the different chambers of commerce and business associations across the state of Minnesota while focusing in the Twin Cities right now. Mm-hmm. And this gives us an opportunity to help small businesses and the business associations with more tech-savvy Google products and Google services with putting a face to Google and having us on the ground. Our program is actually called G-Feet, which stands for, it's kind of, Google Feet on the Street, which, you know what I mean, which kind of, again, puts a face to Google, puts us out on the street, puts us in front of a business owner that, to let them know that, you know, that even though we're the biggest, you know, online search engine company in the world, that we still are sending a representative to their door to speak face-to-face with them and answer any questions and help them with any products and services that we have to offer free of charge.
Are you guys going to be doing any events, Ben? Anything like AdWords 101 held at, you know, some hotel ballroom?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we actually had the big event called Minnesota Get Your Business Online event a couple weeks ago at the River Center that some people may have heard of, and hopefully some people obviously attended. We had close to 1,000 businesses attend in a day and a half.
Wow.
But, so it's great. Going forward, we actually will have, we'll be doing probably one a week to, about 5 or 6 a month. We'll be doing different workshops that we'll cover to get a free business. So it's called Get Your Business Online. We'll show you and we'll give you a free website and how to be able to run it and customize it. We also have a how to run your business online. So if your company already has a website, but you would just like to learn how to maximize it to the best of its ability, enhance its Google presence, as well as its web presence, we offer that seminar as well. And then also the other one that's very popular is Google AdWords and AdWords Express, which is obviously, you know, I mean, the ads on Google when you do searches, and AdWords Express is a little bit simpler, but that's also very effective with Google Places and the Google Places application and the ads that go are associated with that.
Ben, is there a place that we can reference people to online where they can see a calendar of events and that sort of thing as of yet?
Yep. So the best place actually right now, there's two things. You can actually go to MinnesotaGetOnline.com, and that is where kind of where a lot of the information is and where you can get your website and stuff like that. The other place that's actually very helpful and I would be more than happy is I can actually give out my email address. And if anyone is interested that's listening, I would be more than happy to put you on. We have just a mailing list that lists our upcoming events. And, you know, I mean, you'd be more than happy to register for any of the events. Like, again, they're all free of charge. They're all there to help us or help you guys. We're here to help you guys. And we also, like I said, I have a team of reps out there. So what's also nice about giving my email address is that if you ever have any questions about a specific product, your Places page, you know, Google Docs, Google Voice, any of those kind of products, you know, we're here and we're, you know what I mean, that's why we're here. So give us a call. You can talk to a real-life person. You can sit down with a real-life person, and you can email with a real-life person.
Well, you know, I was blown away, Ben, when I read this article back in May in Twin Cities Business Magazine about Google claims $1 billion of economic impact in Minnesota in 2010. And, you know, not entirely sure how the calculation was done and so forth in terms of, you know, how to measure the results of AdWord response and conversions and so on. But still, even if that number is half right, and it's only $500 million, that's still pretty amazing as a metric.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. Like, again, too, is me personally not being, you know, I mean, the engineer and the algorithm expert that they have down at Google, you know, those guys are the ones that graduated from college at Harvard at like 18, but
But
actually it absolutely is. And it's amazing too, that even that big number, you know, I mean, we're looking to grow it. You know what I mean? That's why we're having this program here. You know, the online presence, we're trying to grow Minnesota. Actually around the country, about 63% of small businesses lack a online presence. And that's been Google's really initiative starting this year, is to change that. Minnesota's a little bit more tech savvy, so we're a little bit better at 59%. But when you look at that number, you know, I mean, 59% of local small businesses don't have a web presence. You know, that's something that we really want to target and we really want to change. And that's why we're hoping to grow that number, actually, and just, you know, I mean, help as many small businesses get online and at the end of the day, you know, help them prosper. And, you know what I mean, economically grow as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What does your research show why the 41% that don't have a website don't have one?
Or you mean the 59% that don't have one?
Yeah, right. The 50. Okay. I thought it was the other way.
What we find a lot of times is, you know what I mean, it comes down to time. A lot of small businesses feel that, you know what I mean, it's kind of overwhelming, that, you know what I mean, that they... You know, I mean, that they just can't do it, that even if they are tech savvy enough to run computers, and we've had some companies that have built websites on the side for other people, but they just haven't done themselves. And I think, you know, just like with any small businesses, time is of the essence. You know what I mean? A lot of times small businesses, you know, you're the bookkeeper, you're the cash register, you're the general manager, you're the owner. It just comes down to, you know what I mean, it's kind of sometimes overwhelming. So what we kind of do is we partner with Intuit. And we've kind of broken it down, and we've made it the most simplest customizable website that you can get. And we sit down with you and show you how easy it is to build, you know, as simple as a 3-page website, you know what I mean? So you can get your name out on your front page, you know, a little bit about us, and a contact us page. So at least you have that another avenue to get out on the web. And then we also go through Google Places, which is the, you know, the red pin application that you'll see if you ever search for a local restaurant, bar, any kind of thing on Google when it comes up at the top of the page. So those are two things that we're really offering small businesses, again, free of charge, to get your name on the web, to get your presence on the web, and hopefully, you know, drive more customers to your business. But, you know, like I said, yeah, the main thing we found is, you know, I mean, it's also capital. You know, websites can be very expensive with upkeep and just design, and that's why we're happy to offer all of our services and the actual website free of charge.
Well, and that's been one of the things that, you know, all three of us on this call know this intimately because we build sites for small businesses, startups, entrepreneurs, nonprofits, and so on. And the super smart people that are out there that have small businesses or are doing a startup or, you know, are running a nonprofit, to your point, don't have the time, but also it's just overwhelming when you talk to them about, oh, by the way, you can point your www DNS at your website hosted over here, but then you can use Google Apps by, you know, changing your MX record and, you know, blah. And they're like, what? What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. You start to lose them.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's like a different language.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, really it is. And that's why, yeah, we try and simplify. Yeah, you have all those little things like, you know, hosting your, you know, web domain on one server and then hosting your website on another. So we kind of go over all that to try and simplify it and explain how the difference between a web domain and your website and, you know, I mean, how, you know, your web domain actually points to your website. We try and cover all those bases so that, you know, when you leave, like our kind of motto is, you know, come in offline and leave online. So, you know, I mean, within an hour to hour and a half, you're going to, you know, I mean, have no web presence. And when you walk out the door, we're going to have you, you know, I mean, a web presence with a website and a Google Places verified page that's, you know, I mean, going to help you hopefully tremendously with analytics, with, you know, pointing people to your website, and hopefully, obviously, then pointing people to your store, and you're obviously, you know, growing economically and your revenue going up.
Well, one of the things that, you know, and you don't have to go through all the content right now that you do in these events and so forth, but with AdWords specifically, one of the things that people have to study, and again, to your point of small business people not having the time, but one of the things that people have to study is, all right, I want to use Google Analytics to analyze who's coming in and where they're coming in from and what's happening. And then I want to do Google AdWords. And then I've heard of this thing called campaign management. And then I want to build a landing page. And then so I can track all my conversions, people who actually come in and buy. To understand that process, to set it up and then to run it is a real challenge. But once people learn how to do it, at least in our experience, I'll speak for myself, in my experience, people are like, oh my God, and everything but AdWords is free. I said, yeah, it is.
Yeah. Hey,
so do you teach people that process?
We kind of go over it. We don't, obviously it takes time, you know, with Google AdWords, you know what I mean? To be honest, it's a very complex process and application. And so, yeah, it does take some time and it takes some dedication. But we do try and go into it, and, you know, I mean, that's why we offer our services at a later point, too, if they do have questions. But really, what kind of came out of all of that feedback that we were getting, that it was kind of too, you know, it was too complex and everything, has actually been AdWords Express, which, you know, I mean, all that kind of the analytics in the back and stuff like that, you kind of do the basics of it, and you kind of put it in Google's hands, and Google actually handles the rest for you. So, you know, I mean, it used to be called, some people may be familiar with Boost. It actually used to be called Google Boost, and now it's called Google AdWords Express. So they've kind of changed it up a little bit. They've made it more simpler and it's actually been targeted towards small business owners that, you know, want to have the benefits of Google AdWords, but just maybe don't have the time to actually, analyze and, you know what I mean, all the complexities that go along with Google AdWords.
Okay.
Listen, Ben, let me just make sure. Are we pronouncing your last name right? Is it Thies?
It's actually Tice.
Tice. I knew it. I'm sorry about that. I had a feeling stepped in that. It's Ben Tice. So Ben, listen, with everything that's been going on with Facebook and Google Plus and, you know, the next battle to rule the world, give us your thoughts. Can you share some thoughts on Google Plus and the new Facebook changes that were rolled out and that sort of a thing?
You know, kind of like personally, you know what I mean? Like I've found that, you know, Google Plus is a very, you know what I mean? It's still in its little bit of testing stages, but we're almost there. We're almost about to release it, you know, kind of mainstream. It's another kind of social media aspect, but what we kind of offer and what's kind of great about Google Plus is it incorporates all of Google's products. You know what I mean? It really incorporates the, you know, the calendar, you know, the Google Docs, you know, and as we go forward, you know what I mean? Google Places, and all of those kind of things, and even like websites and, you know, using Google Search all into one application. So you can, you know what I mean, suggest different restaurants, different places, different websites just by clicking a little button, and your friends will be able to see. And it's just another way to connect to people and just have everything in one location. And that's what I think Google Plus is looking to do. And I think it's, you know, it's trying to take the benefits of both LinkedIn and Facebook and kind of put them together so that businesses and individuals can benefit from it and use it effectively.
Well, let's talk a little bit about businesses. Right now, Google Plus is not doing anything with business profiles or business pages. Is that actually going to come to fruition, or is that something that they're just going to leave out of Google Plus?
I know, you know, yeah, we are, you know, I mean, like I said, it's all kind of in, you know, I mean, like I said, Google Plus is still in some of the testing stages, so they're still going through that. But that is the plan that, like I said, it is going to be, like, again, LinkedIn mixed with Facebook, so we will have that business aspect, and we do want to have that. You know, as of right now, kind of the idea is that, you know, Google Places, that page is kind of like a, you know, Facebook or a Google Plus page. But, you know, as we roll it out further and as we go farther down the road, so to speak, that we will be, you know, me incorporating all of that together.
Interesting. So you got any comments about the Facebook changes that were announced yesterday?
I, you know what I mean? Not really. I,
That's okay.
A wise man.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give Larry Page a call and ask him.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of now, Ben, this is one of those things that just sort of eats at me, because I am a big Google user. I use a lot of the products that Google offers, and in general, I'm a very big fan of it. The one thing that drives me crazy, and I noticed it as I you know, popped over here to Minnesota Get Online, to actually contact somebody is not an easy task. I know you have graciously offered to make that, you know, your email available and contact available on with us and with our listeners. But, you know, even if you go to Minnesota Get Online, there's no contact us button.
Mm-hmm. And that's actually what we're trying to change. And that's why we're trying to make these relationships with the
gotcha.
Different associations and the different, you know, chambers across the state. Because again, too, yeah, it's, and as we go forward, like I said, our program is very new, and we're hoping, yeah. you know, I mean, as it progresses and as it goes down the road, that we will be, you know, be a little bit more simpler, and you'll be able to just go online and find, you know, a little contact us button, hopefully be directed towards your local Google rep.
So speaking of Google reps, Ben, are you looking to grow Google in Minnesota, and how many people do you ultimately see working for Google here in the state of Minnesota? Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And I mean, like I said, we're focusing on the Twin Cities right now and kind of going out from there. You know, I mean, we really want to cover the entire state of Minnesota. You know, I mean, that's why, again, we called the event Minnesota Get Online, because, you know, we do want to target the entire state. You know, as of right now, I have, it's a team of five, including myself. And we're looking, you know, I mean, as we grow and as we, you know, I mean, go through different businesses and as we become more popular, is to actually grow that number so we can affect, you know, more businesses, you know, throughout the state, you know, like in Bemidji, in Rochester, in Duluth. And reach out to those other surrounding communities that are thriving and are, you know, tech savvy enough. And but they also have, you know, the local small businesses that need our services and need our help as well.
Interesting. Well, listen, Ben, thanks very much. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you and chatting. And we look forward to hearing more from Google here in Minnesota. Thanks very much, man.
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Yep.
Take care.
So, ladies and gentlemen, it's Ben Tice. He's with Google. He's the field marketing lead here in Minneapolis, and just a energetic guy, a younger kid.
Well, I was just going to say that he just, I mean, you know, he seems cut from the big brain, I'm moving fast cloth that I have seen with most Google people.
He really kind of represents who you might expect to see as a Google employee. It was really interesting at MHTA. He was only one in the room wearing a Google, you know, track jacket. And you know how MHTA just really sucks in the suits. So
that's right. That's right. Yeah.
But a great guy, So I'm glad he was able to join us for a little bit. But listen, let's get back a little bit. I wanted to talk to you guys about this, and maybe this is our gang mentality discussion for the day, is we talk about what Facebook has rolled out. Now, obviously, earlier in the week when the new news feed was debuted, there was an incredible backlash from people that use Facebook. It's like, what the heck? A lot of WTF going on with the core users of Facebook. Again, Tim pointed out that people like us tend to look at it from a little bit more distant view, but industry view. But to to say that the change was welcome would be, well, that would be a little bit of an overstatement. So is Facebook, in this quest to be everything to everybody, to be the music outlet, the movie outlet, the news outlet, the social outlet, in this quest to be everything to everybody, are they basically leaving behind what made them great?
Well, you know what? I'll jump in on that because it's to my point about, you know, doing a platform and trying to be everything to everyone. You know, think about the numbers that Ben just gave us on, what did he say, nationally 58% of small businesses are
59
don't even have an online presence.
That's true.
Well, I got to tell you that I look at my family members who are on Facebook, which is the only reason that I'm on Facebook, because all my friends are everywhere else. You know, I mean, almost everyone. I probably have four or five people that I only connect with within Facebook. Everybody else I'm connected with in other ways. But my family members are so clueless in many ways about technology that the switching costs for them about learning a new interface and going, you know, trying to figure out Google Plus and all that are so huge that there's a lot of inertia. And now with 500 million people in there, you know, they can keep offering stuff and some stuff will work and some stuff won't. But, at the end of the day, it's a walled garden. And I just, you know, I'm not going to go and increase my time, which is their goal, is to make sure that people are spending more and more of their face time within Facebook itself. But I have huge resistance to it because it is a walled garden.
Yeah, but you have a resistance to it from a more root and technical perspective. You know, obviously there is no resistance with 750 million accounts. There obviously is no resistance to using the service by, you know, people that want to connect with family and friends. But I, you know, and I know, Tim, that you are seeing a lot of this as a very big positive. I just don't know. I don't, for example, I don't look to Facebook to be my news feed.
Right.
I look to find out what, you know, friends are doing or family's doing. I don't look for the news feed. I don't get my news from Facebook. I get my social from Facebook.
Right. But Facebook has to evolve or, you know, people will move to other places, I think. I mean, look at what happened with Friendster and with MySpace is that they didn't move fast enough to change when Facebook came up. And so everybody went to Facebook. So I think they have to do some things to evolve the service and to make it relevant to people. And everything that they've done up to now, some of it has caused controversy. The stuff that they announced last year was very controversial when it was announced, but they have more people on Facebook today than they had last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think any of this will drive people away to, you know, somebody else by any means. I think that there are people that are much more happy to just say, oh, I'll roll with it as long as I can see what Ed is up to or Sally is up to. But I don't know. I just wonder. I always look at things like this that are epic, and they have the ability to do epic things at Facebook. And it's just, you know, I also worry about any business that jumps the shark. Are they overreaching?
I don't think so, but I could be wrong.
I very well could be wrong, and I most likely am wrong, but I always ask those questions. It's like, are we overreaching?
Yeah, I don't think in 5 years we're going to look back and see, okay, Facebook, this is where they started their decline. I think that, you know, that's into the future someplace, and it's not now. I think we may even see that this is where their inflection point was, that they became more popular than they have.
Could be, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so. That definitely could be. I just ask those questions as sort of the devil's advocate. I still have to obviously see how it works with everything. But I just look at what happened with these minor changes in the news feed. And really, if you look at the great scheme of things, they're minor. But to everybody that uses this thing on a daily basis, I point right to my 16-year-old son with, well, this is too freaking complicated. What are they doing?
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, he stroked right out.
Wow.
And, you know, and obviously all of his and all of his friends were saying the same thing. It's there is a, at least in the news feed feature now, there's a redundancy. I don't think I want top stories. I don't think I want I just want a feed of, you know, what my friends are up to. And you have now the ticker and you now have the news feed with the top stories and the recent and the, you know, it's just like, oh, my goodness, does this really need to be segmented that much?
Well, that's one of the reasons that they talked about, you know, when they rolled out ads and people were really talking about a lot of buzz on TechMeme about the fact that the ads weren't really working in Facebook. And I remember you saying, Phil, well, yeah, it's because when I go in there, I'm not seeking something other than connecting with my friends. So it's all about my friends. It's all about me communicating to my friends or them communicating to me or, you know, whatever. I'm not in there looking for, you know, business solutions or personal solutions or, you know, any of that. So, you know, I'm not looking for a new hair conditioner, you know. So, yeah, it makes sense to put ads up where there's eyeballs, but also do people even care? You know, again, it's there are a lot of challenges there, but can we also bring up a couple of other things that are not Facebook related in our little game?
Of course you can. Of course you can.
Well, so
it's your show, Steve.
It is not my show. It's our show. It's actually our listeners' show. Cause if they don't listen, nobody cares. Right.
Right.
HP naming Meg Whitman, president CEO.
Don't know Meg, so couldn't tell you.
Okay.
The board at HP has to be replaced. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, they're new. They're a new board.
Okay. So,
what did you say?
They're obviously Ray Lane, a board.
Well, Ray Lane, the former CEO of or COO of Oracle, is one of the board members, and he came out in defense and saying, "Look, you know, eight of us weren't even here when Leo Apotheker. was hired, and so we went out and did the search and brought in Meg Whitman and." So, yeah, a lot of people are scratching their heads like, what?
Well, anyway. I'm not impressed. She has a track record at eBay that's not necessarily great. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't terrible either. She definitely is a Silicon Valley insider, so that's a plus four, I guess. But everything they said yesterday at their little event, it's kind of said, hey, we're going to do all the crazy stuff that Apotheker announced a month ago, you know, shut down the Palm division, basically, I'm not sure what they're going to do with WebOS, but they're definitely the hardware part of it's dead and spin the PC business out, which is sort of like McDonald's saying they're not going to do hamburgers anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're the biggest PC maker in the world. And to say, oh, we're not going to do PCs anymore is just absurd.
Right, right.
So I think that, you know, if she had come out and said, you know what, you know, all that stuff we're going to look at, and that's my first priority is to look at that. And if stuff doesn't make sense, we're going to, you know, not do it. But she said, yeah, we're going to look at it. And it seemed like they're going to do all this crazy stuff. So anyway, maybe she will, you know, get the bull by the horns and really make some dramatic shifts that will make sense for the company. But they've definitely lost their way.
One word, calculators. It's where the future is. Calculators.
Yeah. Hey, can you imagine? So this is back when they were doing the CEO after they got rid of Mark Hurd, who was a very successful CEO.
Yes.
So anyway, after they got rid of him and they were searching for a new CEO, what if they would have gone over and gotten Tim Cook at Apple?
Oh, well,
he used to run the supply chain before he went to Apple. He ran the supply chain for Compaq. So he understands that business intimately.
Yeah.
He would have been a perfect pick for them. And yeah, I'm sure they probably had some discussions, but
probably.
Yeah.
And he may have just said, no, not a snowball's chance in Hades.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Al Gore shot his mouth off. Wasn't he in Australia or something and giving a speech? What was that, Phil?
Yeah, I saw that he had mentioned that, yes, the new iPhones are coming.
Plural.
Yeah. But I don't think there's more than one model. I really don't. I think
there will be.
You think?
Yeah, I do too. I think they're going to replace the low-end 3GS with the current one. And,
yeah, I think they're going to have the iPhone Shuffle with no dial pad on it, no screen.
Yeah,
it'll just randomly call somebody.
I like that idea.
I understand. Tim, I'm not saying they're going to have, you know, they're going to eliminate the 3GS and all that sort of thing. But I don't think there's going to be, like you said, the iPhone and then the iPhone Pixie. I don't think that there's going to be that sort of thing going on.
No, they've got to make the phone bigger. I mean, it's really small now in comparison with Android phones, which are now the flagship Android phones are now like 4.5 inches big.
Really?
That's
it's huge. They're going to be like tablets soon.
Yeah. So, I mean, what is it? 3.5, the iPhone, something like that?
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the Commodore Amiga emulator for Android? Are we going to talk about that at all? Or?
Well, we can if you want.
I know. I'm kidding. Well, listen, I want to.
There's a geeky joke right there.
Yeah, I know. But I'm. Okay. So I wanted to point out on the cast that I did do a post about English books for a school in Thailand. And can you help? Meg Knodel gave me a lead to Friends of the Hennepin County Library, but they basically have books, as many as you can stuff into a bag for $2 just to get rid of the leftovers. Well, the guys told me that, you know, there really isn't a lot, but I'll still go take a look. Tim, you and I are going to do the, they did provide me a list of 100 Project Gutenberg e-docs and audio that we can burn onto CD for them. And, but we need English books. They're going to have, I don't know how many kids are coming over here, a couple dozen.
When is that? When are they coming over?
They're coming over 2 weeks from now. I'm going to try to get together with the woman who's kind of leading this whole project for them. She's an American who I think married a Thai man and is teaching English in this Thai school. And it just looks, by the way, the photos look gorgeous of the school, the grounds, the town, the province. It's just, I mean, I got to go there. My wife loves Thailand. She's done 3 different years. She's done workshops for the Thai government, teaching trends in home furnishings to quote unquote manufacturers of goods that are being shipped to the U.S. so that they're on trend. She loves Thailand. In fact, said to me, we should retire there because for about $15,000 a year, we could have servants and everything else and live in a gorgeous house and all that. It's just that I'd miss you guys.
Then we could still do the cast on Skype.
You know, you're absolutely right. Hey, all right, hang on. I'll go call my wife. Yeah, I couldn't leave here. Anyway, so if anybody has any ideas, email me at steve@minivate.com and that'd be great. So. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a very worthy cause and something that's worth pursuing. Have that we can donate.
Great. So what's coming up for events? Anything?
Well, we've got the She's Geeky Un conference, which happens tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
And that's happening. Has anybody heard any more solid mini demo dates, times, places, that sort of thing? Because the 7th or 8th is coming up.
Yeah, I don't know if anything's been announced. I haven't seen an email.
Okay.
No. Yeah. You know what? Wait. I just logged onto their site.
Yes.
The next mini demo starts at 6 p.m. on Thursday, October 6th, 2011, at Schultz Hall at St. Thomas.
There we go.
Wow. So we were totally wrong.
Yeah. Schultz is spelled wrong as S-C-H-U-L-Z-E. But yeah, so October 6th. So there we go.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
Always a great event. Let's see. We have MEMA Summit coming up on the 11th and 12th.
Always an awesome event.
And we will be there in spades, definitely blogging and tweeting and interviewing and videoing. So hopefully we'll see you there.
And listening.
And listening,
hopefully,
of course.
Hopefully we learn something.
We always learn something. Product Camp. This is a new one for me. Did you see this?
No.
Yeah. This is a product management focused unconference. They've been doing it for a couple of years now. So this is the third one. And it's on November 12th. And it's at University of St. Thomas. Schultz Hall. Yeah. Again. we should put in the show notes the link to the Eventbrite. There, it's limited to 150 people, and it looks like they have plenty of spots open at this point. And it's a day, it's free, of course, and it's a day of learning and talking about product management. So if you're into marketing, especially if you're a product manager, this is the unconference for you.
Plenty to do.
Nice.
Plenty to do. So we've got some good stuff coming up. Had a busy week this week in at least social and online and innovation. And so thanks very much for joining us all.
Absolutely.
And we will plan on talking to you next week on the Minute Bait Gang podcast.
Take care, everybody.
See you then.
Bye.